We're getting ready to start our weekly gathering. Our minister today is Ken Gibson, and he will be talking to us about his journey through the ministerial preparation program. So I'm going to let go of the mic for you, Ken Gibson. The mic is all yours. If I can let go of the mic, there we go.
Thank you, Lynn, and good morning to everyone. And at this time, we will act as if we are in a physical brick-and-mortar church and greet everybody. And my opening song is "We Are All One People" by Freebo.
You and I are both the same. We are all one people. Open hearts and open minds. We want to be peaceful. We all live in one big world. All the boys and all the girls. You and I are both the same. We are all one people.
Love
at me, great love. I am you and you are me. We are all each other. All the young and all the old. You are all my brother. We all live in one big land. We all play in one big band. All the children holding hands. We are all one people.
Thank you for all the blessings, and happy birthday, Barb. I've picked my statement of purpose for this morning as core value number 5. We accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. And now it is time for our announcements. The first one is the Fall Retreat Survey was sent to all members last Monday. This survey is going to help us plan the 2016 Awakening Together Fall Retreat by telling us who you want as retreat leaders and what type of retreat experience calls to you the most. If you did not receive your survey, please check your spam junk folder. If you don't find it there, email Regina at regina.acres@yahoo.com and she will send it to you. The survey will be open through the end of the day this coming Thursday, February 4th. Your feedback is deeply appreciated, especially if there is a chance that you may go to this year's fall retreat. The dates for the retreat are October 23rd through the 31st. Second announcement, James Twyman will be joined by a large group of Jewish, Christian, and Muslim leaders in Syria on Monday, February 1st, for a peace concert and prayer vigil known as the Great Abrahamic Pulse. Millions of people worldwide will join them in simultaneous meditation and prayer by focusing loving attention on the Mideast region. And Awakening Together is going to participate from the sanctuary. The time of this synchronized meditation is 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and 3 p.m. London Time. This happens to coordinate with a regularly scheduled meditation time for us, so join our facilitator, Regina, as she leads the Awakening Together participation in this worldwide meditation for peace. Regina has sent out a special announcement to everyone who receives the daily update about this meditation. So please come to the sanctuary at least a few minutes before the designated time so we can fully participate in this worldwide prayer vigil. If you do not get the daily updates and you want to receive this announcement, you can subscribe to the daily update now by going to awakeningtogether.org. Go to the Join Us menu and subscribe to daily updates. The last announcement is to join Regina Dawn Akers for the beginning of a new NTI group, which will begin here in the sanctuary this coming Thursday, February 4th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. This will be an interactive group of shared clarity. Regina is looking forward to your participation. That ends the announcements, and I will now play our opening song, I Ain't Running No More, by Freebo.
I ain't running no more, I ain't walking out the door. I ain't running no more. I ain't running no more, like so many times before. I ain't running no more. I was caught in my confusion, an illusion of my own. Paralyzed and staring at the floor. Could use a helping hand, cause I couldn't understand what all the fight and suffering was for. But I ain't running no more, I ain't walking out the door. I ain't running no more. I ain't running no more, like so many times. I was running out the door, felt ashamed and I was blaming, just a victim of my own. Now I'm done and I ain't running no more. I ain't running no more, I ain't walking out the door. I will dry up the tears of my journey. I will face all the fears that I've run from for years. I ain't running no more. I ain't walking out the door. I ain't running no more. I
Now time for our morning invocation. I'm thankful today that we have this time together to share time, space, and heart with each other. I know that through our sharing, we have created a sacred place, a place where we honor your promise that where two or more are gathered today in my name, I too will be there. Because of your promise, I know with my heart that my tongue is being guided by Holy Spirit. I know with my heart that all words expressed today, either spoken or sung, are to remind us of the awesome power of the All. I know in my soul, all that takes place during this gathering is all God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all of the opportunities for growth that are continuously offered, even when I say, enough, can I please have a rest? You say, rest as long as you need. I will be waiting, as will the opportunities. Just know that they will always be there to help you find your way home. Amen. It's now time for our inspirational reading. And today my reader is Kathy Smith, and she will be reading a selection from I Am That, Dialogues of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Releasing the mic to you, Kathy.
Good morning. I'm going to do a sound check first to see if you can hear me. Good. Okay, so this reading is a dialogue, and there's a questioner and then the response from Maharaj. So I asked my husband if he would consider being half of this dialogue, and he said yes. Low mic. My volume is as high as it can go, so I'm just going to have to leave it as is. Okay, my husband will begin as the questioner.
I come from a far-off country. I had some inner experiences on my own, and I would like to compare notes.
By all means. Do you know yourself?
I know that I am not the body, nor am I the mind.
What makes you say so?
I do not feel I am in the body. I seem to be all over the place, everywhere. As to the mind, I can switch it on and off, so to say. This makes me feel I am not the mind.
When you feel yourself everywhere in the world, do you remain separate from the world? Or are you the world?
Both. Sometimes I feel myself to be neither mind nor body, but one single all-seeing eye. When I go deeper into it, I find myself to be all I see, and the world and myself become one.
Very well. What about desires? Do you have any?
Yes, they come short and superficial.
And what do you do about them?
What can I do? They come, they go, I look at them. Sometimes I see my body and my mind engaged in fulfilling them.
Whose desires are being fulfilled?
They are a part of the world in which I live. They are just as trees and clouds are there.
Are they not a sign of some imperfection?
Why should they be? They are as they are, and I am as I am. How can the appearance and disappearance of desires affect me? Of course, they affect the shape and content of the mind.
Very well. What is your work?
I am a probation officer.
What does it mean?
Juvenile offenders are let off on probation, and there are special officers to watch their behavior and to help them get training and find work.
Must you work?
Who works? Work happens to take place.
Do you need to work?
I need it for the sake of money. I like it because it puts me in touch with living beings.
What do you need them for?
They may need me, and it is their destinies that made me take up this work. It is one life, after all.
How did you come to your present state?
Sri Maharshi's teaching had put me on my way. Then I met one Douglas Harding, who helped me by showing me how to work on the Who Am I?
Was it sudden or gradual?
It was quite sudden, like something quite forgotten coming back into one's mind, or like a sudden flash of understanding. How simple, I said. How simple. I'm not what I thought I am. I'm neither the perceived nor the perceiver. I'm the perceiving only.
Not even the perceiving, but that which makes all this possible.
What is love?
When the sense of distinction and separation is absent, you may call it love.
Why so much stress on love between man and woman?
Because the element of happiness in it is so prominent.
It is not so in all love?
Not necessarily. Love may cause pain. You call it then compassion.
What is happiness?
Harmony between the inner and the outer is happiness. On the other hand, self-identification with the outer causes is suffering.
How does self-identification happen?
The self by its nature knows itself only. For lack of experience, whatever it perceives, it takes to be itself. Battered, it learns to look out, Viveka, and to live alone, Vairagya. When right behavior, Uparati, becomes normal, a powerful inner urge, mukmukshupa, makes it seek its source. The candle of the body is lighted, and all becomes clear and bright.
What is the real cause of suffering?
Self-identification with the limited, vyaktiva. Sensations as such, however strong, do not cause suffering. It is the mind bewildered by wrong ideas, addicted to thinking, I am this, I am that, that fears loss and craves gain and suffers when frustrated.
A friend of mine used to have horrible dreams night after night. Going to sleep would terrorize him. Nothing could help him.
Company of the truly good, satsang, would help him.
Life itself is a nightmare.
noble friendship, satsang, is the supreme remedy for all physical and mental.
Generally, one cannot find such friendship.
Seek within. Your own self is your best friend.
Why is life so full of contradictions?
It serves to break down mental pride. We must realize how poor and powerless we are. As long as we delude ourselves by what we imagine ourselves to be, to know, to have, to do, we are in a sad plight indeed. Only in complete self-negation there is a chance to discover our real being.
Why so much stress on self-negation?
As much as on self-realization. The false self must be abandoned before the real self can be found.
The self you choose to call false is to me most distressingly real. It is the only self I know. What you call the real self is a mere concept, a way of speaking, a creature of the mind, an attractive ghost. My daily self is not a beauty, I admit, but it is my own and only self. You say I am or have another self. Do you see it? Is it a reality to you? Or do you want me to believe what you yourself don't see?
Don't jump to conclusions rashly. The concrete need not be the real. The conceived need not be false. Perceptions based on sensations and shaped by memory imply a perceiver whose nature you never cared to examine. Give it your full attention, examine it with loving care, and you will discover heights and depths of being which you did not dream of, engrossed as you are in your puny image of yourself.
I must be in the right mood to examine myself fruitfully.
You must be serious, intent, truly interested. You must be full of goodwill for yourself.
I am selfish, all right.
You are not. You are all the time destroying yourself in your own by serving strange gods, inimical and false. By all means, be selfish, the right way. Wish yourself well. Labor at what is good for you. Destroy all that stands between you and happiness. Be all, love all. Be happy, make happy. No happiness is greater.
Why is there so much suffering in love?
All suffering is born of desire. True love is never frustrated. How can the sense of unity be frustrated? What can be frustrated is the desire for expression. Such desire is of the mind. As with all things mental, frustration is inevitable.
What is the place of sex in love?
Love is a state of being. Sex is energy. Love is wise. Sex is blind. Once the true nature of love and sex is understood, there will be no conflict or confusion.
There is so much sex without love.
Without love, all is evil. Life itself without love is evil.
What can make me love?
You are love itself when you are not afraid. And that is the end of our reading. And thank you for asking me to read, Ken. I appreciate it. And I thank my husband for joining with me also. And I will release the mic.
Thank you, Kathy. And thank you, Kathy's husband, whose name I do not know. Or as Lynn said, hubby. All right, everyone. As Lynn told you in the beginning, my talk this morning is about my journey through the MPP program, my challenges, my fears, and the realizations that I made going through this two-year program. Last Thursday evening, myself, my wife, and eight other students finished a two-year journey down the path called the Awakening Together Minister Preparation Program, or as we now call it, MPP. All that remains is to take the test and say the oath at the winter retreat in Cannon City on February 27th. At the end of the class, Regina asked us how we felt to be done with all of the classes. Most of the people responded with, "Wow, it truly outpaced all of our expectations and all of our reasons for taking the program." My answer was, the person who started 2 years ago no longer exists. The first class in the program is called True Discernment, or as I came to call it, a self-guided tour of my personal hell. Or, by the way, you have no one to blame but yourself. This was our introduction to the purification process. I have spent my entire life avoiding this, and now I was being asked to voluntarily lead the way. Back to why I signed up in the first place, my ever faithful trust and belief. So, having voluntarily signed up for this tour, I will trust and believe once again. Open the gates. Here I come. I will trust and believe that I will come out the other side with greater love, understanding, and especially compassion for me. We were all asked to look at what upset us and use root cause inquiry to find the real reason we were upset. Regina had told us the "I am bad" belief would be found if we were willing to go deep enough. She also told us that self-honesty was key. I had no idea how hard that would be. Self-honesty sounds like an easy thing. Who else would we be honest with but ourselves? But as I went down this journey, I found that I was very seldom very honest with myself. My wife Rebecca had told me years earlier that upset with other people was because they were mirroring something back that I did not like about me. I told her she was nuts. And my belief, note the key word belief, had not changed to this point. How could what somebody else was doing be a reflection of what I believed about myself? I had many things in my life that upset me, so this exercise had lots of material to work with. As I asked the question, "Why does this upset me?" I quickly understood why self-honesty was key. Very quickly, the layers of blame and projection onto others became painfully apparent. My "I am bad" belief was very quickly exposed. The next belief that was exposed was my belief that I am the most worthless piece of garbage on earth because of all the horrible things I have done. During one of the exercises, it came out that all I ever heard from my parents was that I was bad. At this point, I was facing my greatest fear. I had to admit that every upset was related to my fear that I would be exposed as a phony. That if everyone knew the truth about me, they would not want to be anywhere near me or have anything to do with me. At that moment of absolute despair, I heard my trust and believe voice say, "Did you ever say to your children that they were bad? Did you mean that they were bad? Or were you just saying that from your perspective, you thought they should have made different choices?" At this point, three amazing realizations came to me. First, my parents did not think I was bad anymore than I thought my children were bad. Second, my belief that all I ever heard from my parents was that I was bad was absolutely false. My parents were loving and rarely told me that I was bad, but the belief was so strong that I accepted it without question. Thirdly, I finally understood the story of the prodigal son. I was raised to be independent and self-reliant, as were my children. They said and did things that were unkind and disrespectful according to my set of life rules. I never stopped loving them and always welcomed them back with a celebration. With this new understanding about my beliefs, I move forward to the true meditation class. And with each meditation, recognized many false beliefs and joyfully let them, as Adyashante told us, just let them run around like the dog that you first let out of its yard, and when they finally get tired, you can release them. So each time a thought came up that in the past I had suppressed and told to go back into hiding because I didn't want to deal with it, I now embraced them and allowed them to go their merry way. With each successive class, we looked at how modern and ancient mystics and sages offered guidance to the world to help seekers to end their suffering and find peace. I was drawn to the Bhagavad Gita class and was quoting it to Rebecca on a regular basis, relaying how each of the conversations between Krishna and Arjuna fit into our daily life and situations that came to us. She didn't find the same attachment to that and really didn't care for it. When we got to the Sufi class, that class did not speak to me, but she asked me to buy her three more books of Sufi poetry, such as Rumi's work. But in going through each one, I listened and I learned and I absorbed which each of those classes had to offer. Somewhere about halfway through, I discovered what I called my success strategies. These were the plans I had developed to bring me happiness, and I firmly believed that if I would succeed, I would just stick to them. Then I remembered my talk on my crazy GPS, and it all sounded way too familiar. As the song goes, I was looking for love in all the wrong places. I realized that all of my success strategies were nothing more than my attempt to control the people in my life, especially my wife, Rebecca, so that I could find happiness. When I applied self-honesty and the best question ever, how is that working for you? I had to admit that my success strategies were a complete failure and it only created a lot of suffering. Against very strong resistance from my ego, I let go of trying to guilt Rebecca into doing what I wanted her to do based on a series of expectations that started the day she said yes. One by one, I have let go of each strategy, and in doing so, I have found what I was looking for all of the time. Someone that would love me freely, of their own accord, and more importantly, I have learned to love me. Wow, I never expected that. Going through MPP would open my eyes and my heart. If any of you have ever even had the smallest desire to take the MPP classes, please do yourself the greatest favor you ever could and say yes. Trust and believe, and you will be amazed at what you will find hidden within you. Thank you, Regina, and all of my classmates. You were amazing. And now I will play the meditation song. If not now, when? At that time, you can all contemplate what I have spoken about. And also, Barb will put up a link for our donations, which is how Awakening Together manages to pay all of our bills. So at this time, I will play that song. If not now, when?
When I was a young boy, I had these dreams. Time didn't matter, for so it seemed. Now I'm still a dreamer, like I was back then. But time keeps screaming, if not now. Hundreds of heartaches and broken down plans.
Thank you, everybody, for all of your lovely comments. At this time, we will open the mic to any of you who would like to share. And I put out an invitation to everybody that is in the MPP program, and especially those that were in my class, if you would like to comment on how you took the class and what it meant to you and the changes it made to you. So opening the mic to anybody that would like to comment. If so, just raise your hand and I will release the mic to you. All right, Light Feather, also known as Gloria, releasing the mic to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much, Ken. And what you shared this morning was really great and very true. Thank you, Kathy, and your husband. The reading today was also perfect to what Nizar Gadada pointed to. I also just completed MPP, and I am awaiting to take the test and be ordained as well. And I just wanted to come on and confirm some of the things that Ken talked about, especially in terms of being different. The journey just started out for me just wanting to know the truth, very simply, and I have ultimately discovered what that truth is, you know. And the most amazing discovery for me was, all along I thought Gloria was the one that was trying to wake up, but it turns out she's the one I'm waking up from, which was an interesting twist to everything. But truly, MPP was a life-changing, life-affirming event. And I also would encourage anyone who has thought about or had the thought to go deeper with their spiritual journey to also look at the MPP course as a possible path for doing so. I'm just really grateful, you know, I'm truly grateful because it was my own desire that brought this whole thing into my experience. And to find out that I'm not that at the end of the day was both awakening and, you know, bittersweet at the same time, because like Ken was saying and pointing to, we invest, and what the reading pointed to today, so much, all of everything has been invested in being this Gloria. Everything that I've experienced, everything I've known, everything that I'm about has been about being this. So how do you let go or not be this in exchange for something that is unknown? And MPP created the bridge for me to walk on step by step and begin to let go of what I am not. It's an ongoing process. It's not anything that ends because the course is ended. It's a beginning, and that's what's helped me to keep from getting too emotionally caught up at the ending of MPP, because it really marks the beginning. It marks the beginning of a new journey, a new way of me being in the world, not as Gloria, but living through Gloria, and allowing this light to be and exist through Gloria. I'm grateful to Regina and for the light that clearly shines through her, and the work and the effort that she put into creating, writing, and in my opinion, MPP is as much a channeled work as NTI or the teachings of Inner Ramana. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the people that I journeyed with in that process, watching their growth as well as my own. I'll let go of the mic. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. That was very nice. And as some of you may know, Gloria and I are both on the member board of trustees, and it is a pleasure to be able to work with her. While Gloria was talking, Sandy Liu, who is also in my class, said, "I don't have a mic. However, what I would say is this class was life-changing for myself in so many ways." Kathy, I see your hand up, so I will release the mic to you.
Hi, guys. Gloria, it was just so beautiful what you just shared. I mean, it so touched my heart. It just so touched my heart. I was in a class with you, you know, kind of back in the beginning of your journey, and I have not taken all of the classes in MPP. I simply take the ones I feel guided to participate in. And
have to say that each time, except for one, I'm in the Rebecca camp where the Bhagavad Gita just didn't speak to me, and it felt like way too many words, and I just had to let go of that class. But that's not the point. The point is, I just can't tell you how thankful that, you know, through Regina expressing this MPP opportunity that we now can all partake of, there's just so much more than you can imagine, because it's all about looking at yourself. And as Gloria shared, I mean, some of it doesn't seem like such a blast to look at, but it's part of the process. And so in such a loving environment as this, I mean, what safer place to, you know, cry or share, you know, whatever it is that might be going on, and feel safe and loved in all of it, in the stew of life, yet knowing that the pot holds us all, and it's just cast iron support, guys. And so I feel that from all of you, and I just hear in your sharing, Gloria, and I heard Hank. Hank was on sharing not too long ago, and oh my gosh, it was just so wonderful to hear Hank again. I haven't heard Hank in a while. And then I met another Hank in Colorado, and I love, you know, Hank Steele too, and it's just so wonderful to have mighty companions, guys. I mean, and I have felt and seen a surge in people being willing to participate and willing to pick up the mic, even though there might be fear. It seems to be, we all have some hesitation in the beginning, and so what? It's a common experience, and we can just rest in knowing that we're going to be supported. And the sharing is what certainly encourages me, just as a, you know, a virtual support. We don't, you know, see each other in person, so to speak, but just hearing your voices is enough. And, you know, on the funny side of it, I'm glad you don't get to see us in picture, because I was checking my husband and I out this morning as we were sitting side by side on the couch with our devices and our dog between us and pajamas. And so I'm glad I can get to the lectern of my couch and share with you all just as I am. So I'll release the mic.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and yes, it is a blessing, because I would imagine a lot of us, especially those of us on the West Coast, are still in our PJs. So it is a wonderful thing to be in this virtual sanctuary where we can come as we are, absolutely as we are. So, Art Lady, I see your hand up. I will release the mic to you.
Hi, Ken. Ken, you were just so beautiful, just magnificent. It just moved me to tears, tears of happiness for you. I just want to say I'm not in the MPP program. I've taken two classes and love them. But more another topic other than MPP is this room, this sanctuary, that I am so grateful that Regina has changed this into a sanctuary along with, you know, the whole board. I can't name everyone, and Lynn is on here all the time and is beautiful, beautiful, upbeat, loving, just a loving presence that Lynn gives in this room. This room is really part of my life. I mean, I do a lot of spiritual work on this, you know, when I'm not in the room. But the room itself is my community, you know. And how amazing is that? That we're not people, you know. That you know, we are people, but we're not seeing each other, and yet we love so much and so deeply. And we're always rooting each other on and patting each other on the shoulder. And the MPP sounds, that it just sounds wonderful. I've taken I think it was NTI, and I took, I didn't take any Ramana. I took the Tao Te Ching, and they were just so wonderful. But, you know, Regina has given us opportunities to do root cause inquiry, too, even without MPP. So thank you. Thank you so much for changing my life, you know. And I loved when Gloria said, it's not as Gloria, but through Gloria. Trying to make the person better is just, you can't do it. It's so much better when the Holy Spirit comes through us, right? So thanks, everyone. Thank you so much. And if I didn't thank someone or name someone, you know that you're in my heart. Okay, I'll drop the mic.
Well, thank you very much for those lovely comments. And MPP is not just for people who want to be ordained. It is for everybody. And you will be amazed at the changes. So thank you, Sharon. And I will now release the mic to Karen.
Hey, thank you, Ken and everybody. I'm in finishing up the MPP program also, and I started it because I had met Regina years ago in a Course in Miracles group, and I knew that she knew something I didn't, and I thought if she was willing to teach me something, I was willing to learn it. And so that's really why, that and I wanted some accountability. And so that's why I started the MPP program. And I have to agree with Ken and Gloria that the person who started it isn't the same person today. It was like, you know how the Grinch who stole Christmas, on that day his heart grew 3 sizes. Well, I think over these last few years that my heart has expanded infinitely. So I would really, if anyone's feeling like they need some accountability and they just, you know, want to know what Regina knows, take the MPP class and let your heart expand infinitely. Thanks.
Thank you. And I will look forward to meeting you at the retreat and when some of us will actually take the oath together. Regina, releasing the mic to you.
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, thank you to Ken for his incredibly honest teaching. And also, you know, we're talking a lot about MPP, and that's great. I'll comment on MPP in a moment, too. But another thing that Ken really brought out in his homily this morning that impressed me, you know, ever since I did that teaching from Michael Langford, when he talked about how after the Krishnamurti talk, he would stay while everybody else was leaving, he would stay and say, you know, what did Krishnamurti just say? I now practice that during our meditation after the homily on Sunday morning. You know, I'll say and I'll ask myself, what did Ken just say? Or what did Jacqueline just say? Or what did Jay just say? Or what did Dove just say? Etc. And so this morning when I was contemplating what did Ken just say, what came from me was the emphasis on self-honesty. And I loved how Ken talked about how difficult self-honesty is, because I think that's a true statement. I think it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of desire for truth in order to be completely self-honest. And so I really appreciated how that was brought back to our attention during the homily this morning, the importance of self-honesty. And, you know, I wondered about the reading. I need to go back and kind of look at it myself. But I wondered about the reading because in the beginning, the questioner unless the questioner changed and we don't know it. In the beginning, the questioner was, you know, without saying it, all of his answers to the questions were kind of, I'm so enlightened. You know, he wasn't using those words, but all of his answers were what you could say just right. And then he went into these questions that seemed to show confusion, seemed to show lack of clarity, lack of understanding. And I wondered what happened here. Did the questioner change? And we don't know that in the book. We started with one questioner and then it shifted to another questioner. Or was this questioner not being honest with himself? Was he able to say all of the right words that he learned from Douglas Harding and from Ramana Maharshi and yet had not really done the looking in order to have the self-honesty? So I was really curious about that anyway, just from the reading. And then Ken goes into how important and how difficult self-honesty is. I think the last time that I was the minister, the third Sunday in January, we listened to a reading from Muji, where Muji talked about just that, how the ego can say all the right words, the ego can even write books, but that's not it. And the self-honesty is absolutely critical. And that's the purpose of the root cause inquiry, which several of you have mentioned. The root cause inquiry is to get us to very honestly look at ourselves. So that's the one thing I wanted to bring out. That's what really stood out for me in the homily, Ken. And I want to thank you very, very much, because we know that wanting to deny, wanting to lie to ourselves, that is a primary temptation in the human condition. And when we get on the spiritual path, that doesn't necessarily change. We just use A Course in Miracles or non-duality or whatever path we think we're on to continue to lie to ourselves with a different language. So I want to thank you for bringing up the importance of self-honesty. I want to thank you for the demonstration of self-honesty, because what you shared this morning shows that you honestly looked at yourself. Right? And you are so vulnerable and so honest with us. It was absolutely beautiful. So I want to thank you. The second thing I want to say about MPP, MPP is an amazing program. And I, even though I wrote that, I say that with all humility. Writing the program for me was an experience, much like writing NTI or writing the teachings of Inner Ramana. It was an experience of my own inner deepening. So just like I was the first student of NTI, I was the first student of MPP. So when I speak about MPP as an incredible program, I don't speak as the smart one who wrote it because she knew all this stuff. That's not true. I developed through the writing, just like people develop going through it. So I speak as the first student of MPP. MPP is an incredible program. And I also know that because of the way MPP is written, for those of you who don't know, MPP is not a lecture class or a study class. What happens all throughout MPP is you are given things, sometimes things that may be very foreign to your mind. You are given things to contemplate. And the purpose of that contemplation is to trigger your ability to listen to inner wisdom, which already resides within. And what happens as you go through all of these different programs, again, the language keeps changing, the symbols keep changing, but you keep going in through contemplation and also through some meditation, but honestly more contemplation. Somehow, miraculously, as you go through the program, your ability to really access and hear your own inner wisdom gets triggered. And one thing that I love as the facilitator or as one of the facilitators of MPP is that different people pop in different classes. It's so fun to watch. Some people pop right there in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, which is, you know, only the third class in the program. Some people pop right there. Other people, another class that really makes a lot of people pop is Jesus of the New Testament. The Sufi class for the devotional types, they really pop there. The Ramana Maharshi class, lots of popping happens during that class. The Kabbalah class that we just went through, oh my God, it's like popcorn amazing in that class. Yeah, Hal popped in the Sufi class, no doubt about it. In fact, I like to joke about Hal because he was so funny. He started the class highly resistant, you know, maybe with an attitude of, you know, Islam is a part of the problem in the world today, and here you are making us study Islam. And then within 5 short weeks, he was writing poetry just like a Sufi. It was so funny to watch. In fact, I always tell people that resistance, high resistance, doesn't mean don't do this. I think high resistance means, oh my God, go. You know, ego is resisting this for a reason. And if your ego is saying, don't do this, don't do this, oh my God, go there. You know, go there. And Hal was beautiful in the Sufi class. Francine, I don't know if Francine's in the room, but Francine, I know her very well. She lives 5 minutes from me. And, you know, Francine, all through the first part of MPP, I just can't hear Holy Spirit. I don't like contemplation. I just can't hear Holy Spirit. And then in Jesus of the New Testament, pop! The most beautiful Holy Spirit writings as she contemplated started coming through, and people in the class were like, oh my God. So this is what's great about MPP. MPP, you know, some people think that MPP is about learning about all of these different religions. You couldn't be more wrong. MPP is about learning to hear inner spiritual wisdom yourself. And it happens at different times for different people in different programs. And also what we see as we go through these different classes is that all of these different, quote, religions, you know, for the master, for the one who goes within and contemplates with within, they're exactly the same. There's only one truth, and it comes through so clearly through all of these over and over and over again. It is an amazing curriculum. But I also want to say to the people who have completed MPP and to the people who are going through MPP now, and to those of you who are just starting MPP, I have people that I think are in week 5. They're just beginning. It's an incredible commitment. It takes hours a week of your time. It's not this fast, easy thing. Some of the classes have homework. There's a couple of classes that have homework 4 days a week, but then there's homework 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and in many of the classes, even 7 days a week. And that homework is not fast and easy. That homework probably usually takes about an hour of very deep contemplation time, for some people maybe even 90 minutes. It's a deep, deep commitment. And some people, I think, maybe even when they hear that, they stray away from MPP. They're like, oh, I don't have that kind of time. I don't want that. But the truth is, you don't have the time not to. At least that's how I feel. It is that commitment. It's not the two. We do meet once a week for 2 hours, and we do have class, and that's wonderful. But it's not the class, the two-hour class, that really results in you finally accessing your inner wisdom or you realizing the truth that's beyond all the symbols. It's not the class that does that. It's the homework. And you wouldn't do it in 10 hours a day of quick homework. I mean, 10 minutes a day of quick homework, or 15 minutes or 20 minutes. It's that hour, that 90 minutes, nearly every day. That's what does it. So I want to say thank you to those of you who took MPP or are currently taking MPP and are really dedicating yourself to it. Because as you know, since those of you especially who have finished MPP or have gotten to at least the Jesus of the New Testament course or the Kabbalah course, as you know, what you are doing, this time you are spending in contemplation, is not just, quote, for you. It's for all of us. As they say in the Kabbalah course, you are raising the holy sparks, you know, with that time that you spend in that contemplation. Or as the Jesus of the New Testament course teaches, you are literally creating grace for all of us. And so it's a wonderful gift not only to yourself, but to the whole, to people who will never even know you, you know, never even know that you took that time to be so deep in contemplation for so many days, for 2 years. Grace is touching them because of your dedication. And I really want to thank you for that. On behalf of people who will never know to thank you, I want to thank you for that. I guess that's all I have to say, and we're about out of time. So thank you, and I'll release the mic.
Thank you, Regina. And everything she said, yes. And something she didn't say was, we were blessed because of Rebecca and I sharing one mic. There were actually 11 people in our class. And in that sharing, you got to hear all of the contemplation of the other 10 people. And that was such a lovely bonus. As Regina says, as each of them popped and you heard what was coming from them, you just felt blessed to be able to share that. And Peggy, I see your hand up. I'll release the mic to you.
I will just say that early on in the MPP, you know, I called Regina because when we first started off, we were like on Skype. And that was okay, but then when we actually got into the lessons beyond just the intro and so forth and got into true discernment, I called her in sheer panic and said, you don't understand. You know, this stuff is very real to me. It flays me open. I cannot do this live talking to other people. This is something I would only go through in the most trustworthy of psychologist and one-on-one therapy, and I was just really, and yet I stayed with it, and I am very thankful. I know that at all times it probably wasn't too enjoyable for everybody in my class with me, but they hung in there with me, and they were very loving and very patient, and Regina was too. I really thought getting into MPP, this will be cool. This will be something intellectual. I will enjoy sharing the thoughts from these books that I've studied for years off and on and so forth. And I just thought that was just going to be a fun intellectual, whatever. But it wasn't. And, even Jackie was in there with me with the, in the beginning. But it's, it flays you open and you are pretty raw and hurt from that. But the healing that takes place is nothing less than miraculous. And it is like Gloria said, it is letting go. It's letting go of the Peggy, letting go of my story of Peggy and just allowing. And I could have paid vast amounts and spent 20 years in therapy. And I don't think it would have worked near as well. So I am very grateful. And for all those that were patient with me and have been and continue to be so, thank you very much to all.
Thank you, Peggy. I got to meet Peggy at the fall retreat this year. I was the shuttle driver, and I got to meet a lot of the people during that half-hour ride to and from the airport. So thank you, Peggy. You are special. And you are correct in the fear that I felt in sharing honestly with a group of people I didn't know. Because of all the people in that group, the only ones I knew were Irene and Regina. So to open your heart and your fears to a bunch of people you don't know was very challenging. But as we all found, it was truly the safest place we had ever been. And everybody in my group, and I'm sure in all the others, shared equally and honestly. And yes, Peggy, it does. And we all got naked in those groups and bared our hearts and our souls. And the class that we just finished was called Becoming an Awakening Together Minister. And the first 2 weeks were listening to audios that Regina had prepared that gave us a review of all of the classes we had just finished. And what I loved in that review was how Regina would go through and talk about the first one and then would refer to how the Tao had said the same thing as Adi Ashanti had said, and then how the Kabbalah class had said the same thing that the Tao said, and how in the Bhagavad Gita it was saying the same thing that Adi Ashanti had said. And as she went through and reviewed all of those classes, it was so lovely to be reminded of how they were all saying the same thing through different cultures, through different times, through different methods, but they were all saying the same thing. And our last week was about being a spiritual mentor. And one of the commitments that we had to realize, and I, even though it was stated, this is a commitment you make as a mentor, but I also think it is a commitment that we all make, is that we all must remain the student, which is something that Regina pointed out, that she is still the student even though she does all of these classes. She wrote them all. She channeled them all. Whatever you want to call it, we all remain the student. And realizing that we can memorize all these things, we can read the books 100 times and be able to quote a chapter and verse, but that all of this is a bridge, and we must let go of all of it before we can touch the other side. So with that, I will play my closing song, which is A God of My Own Choosing.
Underneath a steeple, not so far away, all the lonely people on their knees to pray, begging for forgiveness, sins they can't forget, waiting for redemption, but it hasn't happened yet. I used to know that feeling for so many empty years, until I found the voice of truth that's always been right here. In a God of my own choosing, where love will conquer all, the God of sweet forgiveness is the only one I'll call. The one who lives behind each fence and treats me tenderly. A God of my own choosing sets me within, and there my freedom lies.
in a God of my own choosing, where love will conquer all. The God of sweet forgiveness is the only one I call. The one who left behind trees and treats me tenderly. The God of my own choosing sets me free. Oh, the God of my own choosing sets me free.
Thank you, everybody. And again, that was A God of My Own Choosing by Freebo. Freebo is an artist that we met. And those of you who heard my last talk about the effect of music, I played music and talked about Daniel Namad. His studio is in Orange County, and he has started doing these little in-house concerts where we get to meet various artists. And the one from last month was Freebo, and he just blew us away. So blessings to all, and thank everyone that shared. You are all love. Bye-bye.